Congratulations!
You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one, most award-winning arts and culture podcast.
Bitches! With me, Maysoon Wazawaz.
And me, Kate Rhodes. Over the weekend, we celebrated the most distinguished honor of receiving the Big Mac Arthur Fellowship.
Yay!
Founded by Patricia Maloney. And I have to say, it was the greatest honor of my life, and nothing will ever compare. Anyhow, thank you so much to them. But I would like to say that the lesson I learned from all this was that if you just say that you're award-winning, eventually someone will give you an award. And that's how awards work.
So every week we're going to say a most award-winning...
The most million dollars having... podcast.
Yes, I love it.
This week we are really taking it to
the streets,
city hall, because it's almost voting time and Maysoon is going to break it all down. FYI, Oakland's not having an election.
What's up with that? I wish we were voting on that same time.
Wouldn't that be more fun? We will be next November.
That's true.
Next November president's happening.
San Franciscans are going to be voting on a number of propositions on Tuesday, November 3rd.
And just remember the last time, the last election, we felt terrible because we didn't tell everyone what to vote for. So it was all our fault that everything we didn't want to have happen
everything
happened.
Totally flopped
or
to hell.
Vice versa. And so this time we're going to be a little bit more proactive.
Yep. This time we're just going to tell you how to vote.
Really, Maysoon's just being proactive. And well, I, as the Oakland representative, we don't have an election. So.
Here's how proactive we were. Last week, we decided Kate would report back on the Oakland election.
Yep.
And I would report back on the San Francisco election.
Uh-huh.
And within the week,
I think I've been very successful.
Kate realized and determined that Oakland wasn't having elections this year. And so it's just me, people.
With quite a bit to cover.
I know. The problem, yeah, I am covering as much as I can. I really have never have any idea about the College Board people.
What do they do even?
I don't know. I usually end up looking at the ballot and deciding like who's not a corporate asshole. Like I'm just like, oh, who's already a teacher or a community worker or something?
Who? Wendy Aragon.
What do you know about Wendy Aragon?
She is an activist. She's tried and true because the Green Party endorsed her. Don't take our word for it. Do your own research, obviously.
Do your own research.
But if you don't have time, just pop this on your headphones as you head into the ballot box or
whatever. It's
going
to be a 30-minute episode for you to vote. Good luck.
Maybe don't take that long.
Yeah.
It infringes on other people's rights to vote. You guys are voting for mayor?
Hell, I'm going to vote for everyone and anyone against Ed Lee for sure.
Well, what if they're like... Well, okay, we know Broke-Ass Stewart is running.
Broke-Ass Stewart is running.
He's cool, but he's not going to win. And he has no political experience.
That's the problem. None of these people are really going to win.
Okay, well, what does that mean?
It just means...
You still got to vote.
Listen.
You got to endorse someone, Maysoon.
I'm not going to endorse anyone. I'm going to say, like, what everyone else is saying
okay,
is
Green
1, 2,
Party.
3, vote Ed Lee out.
1, 2, 3, out with Lee.
Out with Lee, thank you.
Okay, so just real quick, people, for mayor, number one choice according to the Green Party is Francisco Herrera. His name is Francisco. Gonna be the mayor of San Francisco, Mayor Francisco of San Francisco. Can't go
wrong. I like
it. And then their number two choice is Amy Farrah Weiss.
She's a neighborhood activist. Those are also two of the three choices from the League of San Francisco Pissed Off Voters.
I remember something else about Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's a musician and an activist. It's a musician.
Oh.
And he has a ponytail.
Proposition A, affordable housing bond. I'm just going to read the, like, what it's proposing. It's a couple sentences, everyone, so just prepare yourself. Is to finance the construction, development, acquisition, and preservation of housing affordable to low and middle income households through programs that will prioritize vulnerable populations such as San Francisco's working families, veterans, seniors, disabled persons. It'll assist in the acquisition, rehabilitation, and preservation of affordable rental apartment buildings to prevent the eviction of long-term residents. It'll repair and reconstruct dilapidated public housing, Its aim is to fund a middle-income rental program and to provide for home ownership, down payment assistance, opportunities for educators, middle-income households. Should the city and county of San Francisco issue $310 million in general obligation bonds, subject to independent citizen oversight and regular audits for this affordable housing bond? And I said yes, because I'm all for affordable housing.
But just to give you another perspective, the League of Pissed Off Voters said hell yes to Prop A.
Mm-hmm.
The Guardian said yes, just a regular yes. And the Green Party said no. And I read why in their more extended voter guide. They yeah. just said that it just wasn't specific enough what exactly the money was going to go to. And they felt like it was going to go to the organizations and people that have the most political connections. Mm-hmm. And that they just weren't confident that it was going to really do what it's kind of appearing that it would do.
Right. I read that as well from them. And I always kind of read who's behind the proposition, like who's pushing it, who's going for the yes, who's going for the no, or who's opposing it. I thought the list of people who were saying yes for it were like legit groups that do their research and have a good...
You mean the people that were like funding it and like making not it funding, be a proposition, or just the
people
that
who
were
in support of
it.
The proposition, okay. Not the people who necessarily put it through to government.
Uh-huh.
And so that was sort of what I think ultimately kind of turned my... Plus, I'm just a proponent of affordable housing because we really need housing in the city right now. Proposition B, paid parental leave for city employees. This seems like an obvious yes. What, just so you know.
Shall the city amend the charter to allow parents who are both city employees to each take the maximum amount of paid parental leave for which they qualify for the birth, adoption, or foster parenting of the same child if both parents are city employees, and to provide each parent the opportunity to keep up to 40 hours of sick leave at the end of paid parental leave. That should be for everyone.
Right.
We should require that for all employees of all stripes.
And just so you know what it is right now, it's set up so that the combined leave for both parents is 12 weeks. The proposition C, expenditure lobbyists. Now, this is something I hadn't really heard of. I feel like I might need to do a little more research for myself on it. But what the proposition is shall the city regulate expenditure lobbyists by requiring them to register with the Ethics Commission, pay a $500 registration fee, and file monthly disclosures regarding their lobbying activities. So right now the city currently requires lobbyists, which are different than expenditure lobbyists, who directly contact city officials referred to as contact lobbyists, to register with the Ethics Commission and disclose their lobbying activities. But individuals, businesses, nonprofit organizations, labor unions, and trade associations also attempt to indirectly influence city officials by urging others to directly lobby those officials. So this is basically saying, if you're a nonprofit and you're not necessarily lobbying directly to the city, like,
but you're getting other people to do it?
Or, yeah. Uh-huh. Or if you're like working with a lobbyist group. It's basically saying that those other groups should also pay in what the lobbyists pay. And I kind of just feel like, I don't know, I sort of said no to that. Because I'm like, well, if you're
you
a little...
I don't think they should have... on Prop C.
Yeah, and I guess I feel like I was sort of thinking about my days at Southern Exposure. And if we were working with the Arts Commission on lobbying for more money from the city for arts organizations, I don't know if... To me, it doesn't seem like SOEC should have to pay $500 in order to be able to have a voice.
Okay, well, the League of Pissed Off Voters on Prop C said yes, because they want to support tracking spending by lobbyists.
Right.
And the Guardian said no. And the Green Party also said no, and they felt like it was an attack on grassroots organizers.
Proposition D is Mission Rock. It's a Mission Rock development. Mission Rock is down by Mission Bay. Here, what we so the Prop B prevented the city from allowing any development on port property to exceed the height limits in effect as of January 1st, 2014, unless the city's voters approve the height limit increase,
which is what this bill is.
So
you're voting. So now because that happened,
now we
get to say, do we want this tall ass thing here or not?
Yeah, exactly.
Great.
Let me just see if there's any other pertinent information.
How tall ass is this ass?
So, from one story, which is 10 feet,
right.
I looked this up,
yep.
To 40 to 240 feet. So it's a significant
percentage. 24 times more.
Proposition D would make it city policy to encourage the development of Mission Rock, provided that the project creates approximately 8 acres of parks and open spaces, which I love, includes approximately 1,000 to 1,950 residential units, most of which are rental, and at least 33% of which are affordable to low and middle income households, which also sounds good. So one of the sort of main opposing points to this proposition is that it raises waterfront height limits to build 11 private towers on public waterfront land.
Green Party says no, no.
Yeah. And so I also said no in my notes, but I still, it's just one of those where I'm still
on
kind
the
of,
fence.
I'm a little on the fence because again, I think we need housing.
We need more housing. I feel this personally, that is a fact.
Yeah. And this actually has the percentage of what would be low and affordable and middle income housing versus like Prop 8, for example, doesn't have that specific, like this number has to be in that plan. So I'm definitely on the fence around it, you know. Yeah. And which is why I'm saying no.
I'm just glad I'm not a San Francisco voter. It sounds right. like a hard decision.
Yeah, because I mean, there's a lot of this one. Actually, I think there's a lot of good detailed information in it that's helpful. But it's also like try to think a little bit more between the lines as well. Proposition E, requirements for public meetings. This is, shall the city broadcast all city meetings live and on the internet? Allow members of the public to submit electronically during the meeting, live, written, video, or audio comments from any location, and require those comments be played. Require pre-recorded video testimony to be played during a meeting, and allow the public or board, commission, or committee members to request that discussion of a particular agenda item begin at a specific time.
Now that I've been to some of these city hall meetings, I feel like that sounds awful.
Oh, it sounds like it would take 5 days to get one meeting over.
Yeah, because number one, technical problems. Number two, all the fucking weirdos that want to comment and now will be able to at every meeting
all the time. They're gonna be at home waiting to just dial in.
They'll just be making video after video after video and like emailing.
So the way it works now, members of the public must have an opportunity to testify on any matter discussed at a public meeting. Every person must have an equal opportunity to speak. The public cannot testify from remote locations. However, if a member of the public submits pre-recorded video testimony, the video is made available before the meeting, but does not need to be played during the meeting. So I say no, because it sounds like it would be a huge hassle and things wouldn't get decided. And it's kind of like, if you can already submit some kind of form or comment letter video beforehand, if you feel that impassioned by it, right, by whatever they're discussing, then that seems pretty good.
Green Party says no on that one too, so...
Yeah, sometimes there's sort of silly propositions that go out there, kind of interesting to look into.
Yeah.
Prop F, short-term residential rentals. Fuck yes! Airbnb sucks my ass.
Airbnb is such a fucking bastard.
So
what is wrong with them?
Fucking yes, people.
So like, remember this whole big controversy that's been going about their horrible
ad campaign
that they had to take down?
What,
it was like,
bags.
Hey librarians, hope you enjoyed all that tax money, little bitch.
Maybe you can keep your library open for longer hours.
Like they go to the fucking library.
Like they go to the library. They
Jesus
probably order
Christ
all their shit
on
Amazon if they even read.
Butt plug motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sad that I offended butt plugs.
You can edit it out.
Sorry, butt plugs. But point is, I agree completely, and so does everybody.
Yeah.
Does everybody?
No, everybody doesn't.
Wait, okay, so wait. Make it real clear again to me one more time. If you vote yes on Prop F, you want more regulations.
Exactly.
Okay, League of Pissed Off Voters says hell yes to that. And The Guardian says yes, yes, yes. Three yeses with exclamation points each. And of course, the Green Party says yes. They call them illegal hotels, regulate illegal hotels.
Exactly.
Prop G is some bullshit. PG&E is trying to push this proposition through to tell some bullshit lies about clean energy and garbage and basically no on G. And you can remember that by go to hell, Prop G. G for go to hell. Okay, Prop H, however, in response to Prop G, which is a trumped up corporate bullshit thing is the good one. And that's why for Prop H, we say, hey there. Hey, yes, there. On H.
Prop H guarantees that San Francisco will follow state law and how it defines clean energy.
Instead
just like every other fucking county and PG itself.
Yeah. Aaron Brockovich.
All right, cool. Proposition I, suspension of market rate development in the Mission District.
This is the Mission moratorium one.
I say hell fucking yes to that.
Maysoon is so passionate about this that she will give you her personal cell phone number.
415-341-2551. Give me a call if you really want to, if you're confused, you want to have a little conversation. I will not harass you. I will
not
bully you.
It's not going to get too heated.
It might get heated, but I
Maysoon's
won't bully you.
Maysoon's going to take a deep breath and count to 10 before calling anyone any slurs.
No, I won't call you any names, but I might raise my voice. I might get slightly excited, but I will also
but only because
always
you believe
listen to you.
So deeply.
That's true.
The Green Party agrees yes on I.
I want to read you a few.
And that's a yes on I. Sometimes it's hard to remember because if you get mad, you want to say no.
Yep.
But it's actually a yes on I, and that's why we say aye, aye, Captain. Yes on I.
And so just so you know, this proposition is proposing an 18-month suspension of market rate development. So those
AKA
10...
AKA luxury
luxury housing. So it's a suspension. It's a pause. We're taking a break. We're recouping some time to reconsider what housing can look like, new housing can look like in the Mission. Vote, you know, even if you're just voting for the ones that you really understand and can stand behind.
You don't have to vote on everything.
Go ahead and vote on those.
You can
in
abstain.
Fact, it might not be a great idea to vote on the ones you don't know anything about.
Yeah, but still vote on the ones you do.
Yeah,
and
that's
take
important.
The time out to vote.
Proposition J, Legacy Business Historic Preservation Fund.
So this is for businesses that have been in San Francisco for 20 years or more, right?
Shall the city establish a Legacy Business Historic Preservation Fund, which would give grants to legacy businesses and to building owners who lease space to those businesses for terms of at least 10 years, and expand the definition of a legacy business to include those that have operated in San Francisco for more than 20 years and are at risk of displacement and meet the other requirements of the registry?
What are the requirements
of the registry are, one, that the business has operated in San Francisco for 30 or more years. 30 or more years and either was founded or currently has its headquarters in San Francisco. Two, it has contributed to the neighborhood's history or identity. And three, it is committed to maintaining the physical features or traditions that define the business or nonprofit.
That's funny. So what do you say on that one, Maysoon?
I say, cool. Hadn't heard of this one. Yes.
And that's Jay?
That's Jay.
Okay, gotta tell you, the Green Party says no on J.
Okay.
And their reasoning was that they feel like it's a slush fund to reward donors. I think the Green Party just doesn't trust San Francisco's government at all.
I think they're right to not trust San Francisco's government.
Yeah.
Or to be
skeptical.
They
think that all
this
shit that sounds like it's going to benefit shit we like is actually going to benefit people that are like in... you know, have the politicians in their pocket. Kind
yeah.
Of. The Guardian says yes, and the League of Pissed Off Voters says yes.
So, you know, maybe do a little research yourself and come to some conclusion.
Maybe meditate on it.
Meditate on it.
But according to Maysoon,
yep.
Just say yes to Jay. Jay. Just say yes.
Jess.
Jess.
And our final proposition tonight, Proposition K.
K for Kate.
Surplus public lands. This one is a little bit confusing to me, I will admit. Let me read it to you. Tell me what you think. Shall the city expand the allowable uses of surplus property to include building affordable housing for a range of households, from those who are homeless or those with very little income to those with incomes of up to 120% of the area median income, of which they don't say what that is, and for projects of more than 200 units, make some housing available for households earning up to 150% or more of the area median income.
What?
This is basically saying the city has surplus lands and they're proposing that the city should use its surplus property to build affordable housing for a range of households. So we have housing for homeless or those with very low income, and also those with 120% of the area median income, and some for 150%. So they're kind of proposing a range of housing. So I said yes, but I was also like a little bit confused on like the 120% people and the 150%. I'm like, wait a second, what do you mean?
Why do we need to vote on that?
I was like totally sold on like, you know, affordable housing again. Mm-hmm. You know, the city should give up its, or should provide, if it has land that's not being used, it's a surplus, you know, then they should use it for that. That sounds like a great idea. So I said yes, but with some kind of like, again, one of those where I'm like, hey, this is a little bit
problematic, but I'll questionable. Take it. I'll take what I can get. And the Green Party said yes on that one. Everybody said yes on that one. So cool. I think that is a fair deal.
And then I just want to give people a little bit of information.
A square deal.
Fair and square deal. To gain more information about this, you can go online, voterguide.sfelections.org. Vote at your polling place. If you don't know your polling place, you can either look at your voter guide that was sent to you in the mail. It'll tell you exactly where to go to vote. Or if you still don't know, or you never got one of those guides because you just moved but you're registered, you can vote at City Hall. Vote at City Hall. Don't just say, I don't know where to go, I'm not going to vote. You can vote at City Hall Monday through Friday until November 2nd. From 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday and Sunday through November 1st, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., enter on Grove Street, and on Election Day, Tuesday, November 3rd, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Lots of hours to vote. Also, this one thing I think is very important. If for some reason while you're voting, you feel like your voter rights have been infringed upon in any way, shape, or form, or someone else's voter rights are being infringed upon in any way, shape, or form, be a good citizen. Stand up for yourself. Stand up for that person. You can call the voter hotline at 1-800-345-8683. That's 1-800-345-VOTE.
Sometimes it might be not so obvious that your voter rights are being infringed upon. So stay alert.
Yeah, like if I think that's oftentimes people are like, oh, you're not on the list. You're not on the list. You can't vote. But it's like,
you can fucking vote.
You can fucking vote. It is absolutely your right to vote. So call that number. They will help you determine what you need to do. And maybe that means you have to go to City Hall. But I think a lot of times locations have extra voter voter ballots for you to use. Anyhow, don't walk away feeling like you weren't able to do your citizen duty. You need to be able to do that. So take that number with you.
Now, people might think to themselves, what does this have to do with arts and culture?
Everything.
You can't be fucking making art with PG&E, fucking eating your babies and having nowhere to live and fucking
blowing up your babies.
Airbnb, taking over the fucking billboards and destroying our lives and our fucking will to carry on.
And your legacy organization's getting shut down left and right because they can't afford to be here. People, get out and vote, people. It's going to be awesome. We can vote together. Give me a call.
All right, we're over here in downtown San Francisco talking to Vinay Patel.
Hi, how are you doing?
Great.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for meeting with us today. So we did a few episodes a very short while ago about the situation with the 5M development project happening in SoMa. And we went to a couple hearings SFAC had. It seemed like a lot of the people coming out were representing the Filipino Heritage District there that has yet to become an official district, right? Mm-hmm. So I thought you could fill us in and give us the real scoop on everything, because most of it was kind of my fever dream. So you can actually tell us what the hell is going on.
Where to start? I think that maybe we could start at the Filipino Heritage District, and I think that some of the there's some of the people in the community that actually had started it that can illuminate more. I think you're going to be speaking with too. But the Filipino Heritage District was actually sought after by the community, and it's been I think almost 7 years since that process actually started, and it's something that I believe goes through the planning commission. Now, what we've learned through all this is that the Heritage District hasn't been brought up by the planning commission and voted on or anything moved on in all these years, whereas all these other major developments are going through SOMA very quickly and passing very quickly. And the reason why the Filipino Heritage District was important was that it would actually give some sort of guidance guidelines, you know, planning document for any developer that coming into this area, they'd have to sort of abide by some of these conditions to ensure that what they're doing and the changes they're making in the neighborhood, there would be a counterbalance to ensuring that there's cultural preservation and that I think the other big piece of this was that ensuring that, you know, families and youth can still remain there. Right now, it's pretty much, you know, come and do whatever whatever you want and build up however high you want. As long as it's bringing money. And I think that's the main thing here. And I've been to a few planning commission hearings now, and it's few more than I've ever been to. But, you know, I kept thinking in the back of my head, when does San Francisco say no? You know, it's just like everything has kind of been passed. And the one regret that I heard was a development on the Embarcadero where they said no to them building 10 extra stories and they regretted saying no. And I'm like, that's very ironic. Here's the situation where they told the developer to scale back in a neighborhood that really isn't affected by anybody but, you know, mm-hmm. rich people, mm-hmm. you know, whereas you have the 5M project over here, which is going to affect scores of people and scores of mid to low income individuals and family, and they have no issues with this building going up, you know, close to 500 feet. And so the 5M project, from what we understand, is also in a similar time frame. I think it's been around 6 years where they've been actually been planning this project. And they have been also, they've done a whole bunch of meetings with the community. But I think the bottom, where things sort of went a little haywire was when they actually came out with their plans. Because that was not expressed to the community in a very thoughtful way, I think. You know, so people were shocked to see there's going to be these two huge towers that are going to be built that are going to cause a wind tunnel, that's going to cast shadows. And every other development I've seen is that the shadow is a big deal, especially when you do on public spaces and parks. Whereas in here, it doesn't. The planning commission doesn't have a problem. Mm-hmm. Whereas I know that, like the Embarcadero project I was talking about, they were arguing or talking about, like, you know, 0.1% time it will cast a little bit of a shadow on this one park, whereas this one's going to be casting shadows throughout the year, covering the entirety of some parks. That's not an issue. And so I think that those are concerns. Now, the 5M project is interesting because on one hand, you know, you have these, you know, monoliths going up, but the project is actually embracing what the Art Commission has dreamt of when talking about an arts community benefit. And so usually developers, they have in this zone, they have to devote 1% of their building costs towards art. And what they usually do is they'll put up a, you know, statue or buy something and they put it in the lobby and they're done with it. Whereas the Arts Commission says, well, if you give us the money, we can actually do something constructive with it, which this developer has done, which I was very happy to see somebody take that up. You know, but part of the issue was that there were a lot of things that in that agreement that were already set in stone. And so monies would go here, it would go to these people directly, and the community didn't have real input on this. And now we're actually talking about culture and, you know, art and culture, which is at the crux of, you know, the people who are being affected. And you have these benefits, quote unquote, already parceled out. And that's what a lot of the concern was at the Arts Commission.
Was that parceled out, like, with the Arts Commission? I mean, was 5M working with the Arts Commission on determining how that would be parceled? Or did 5M, I mean, really? That's surprising. It's sort of shocking to me, but yeah.
Yeah, I think that it would. It may have been everybody's, you know, best intentions. I think that the Arts Commission and 5N, they came together, came up with ideas on how to do this, and then they came up with a plan. Now, that's when the information about the plan came out is when the community started organizing and saying, you know, I think there could be a better way of doing this that has community input. You know, and so I think there's a lot of moving parts to this, but essentially, you know, of the 100% of the pie, I believe, well, there's two things. One, a building was going to be given to quote unquote, the arts community.
Was that the Dempster Building?
That's the Dempster Building.
I remembered.
Yeah. So the Dempster Building was going to be given to the arts community, and namely to CAST. And CAST was then going to be tasked with coming up with the money for its renovation, because it's right now uninhabitable for arts use. So they were going to come up with it. And so the cash amount that the Five M Project was going to give, I think 60% of it was going to go towards CAST to renovate, you know, help renovate the building. And that would be, I think, 20% or I don't know, some percentage of what the total cost was going to be. So it's still a large endeavor to raise that money. And then the remaining 40%, still another chunk of it was going to go to CAST. And I think that where the community was concerned is like, well, why is that happening? And why isn't there community process around this? And so that's why there's a lot of organizing around the Arts Commission meeting. Concern was that this was going to set a dangerous precedent moving forward, mm-hmm. where developers can just say, hey, you know, how about we just give this to here and this to here, and yeah. we and call it a day. Right.
There's part of me that feels concerned that the Arts Commission or that the community came into the Arts Commission too late in the game. I mean, what's your take on that? Just like how do you feel about the outcome of that last meeting where there were a lot of conversations that happened about how the money should be spent, and eventually the Arts Commission voted yes on moving forward with the community's kind of input? Like, how do you feel about that element, or where do you think that's eventually going to go?
Well, one, about the timing of the community input. Yeah. Well, I've done community organizing for a lot of years, you know, and I just know that with the population that we're talking about, the groups that are the most disadvantaged, mm-hmm. it's a lot to ask for them to keep fighting just to stay alive every time. And so we're not talking about them trying to, you know, winning a lottery or something like that. This is their livelihoods. And I think that every time this kind of happens, I wish that things can happen earlier and things like that, but it's very difficult to do. And it's very difficult to bring these people out because they're all, you know, working class, many jobs, you know, it takes a lot of effort to do. And sometimes it's not fruitful. And then, you know, then they have to carry that baggage of sometimes if things don't work out, then they have to carry that with them along. And so I think that anytime that this community could come out, I think that's the right appropriate time, and our elected officials and our public servants should take notice when especially this crowd comes out, you know, because this is actually something that affects the core of San Francisco. You know, like what's being built isn't for people who are actually living here. What's being built is for people who are going to be coming here because this is being built. And so I think part of the job of the Planning Commission, the Arts Commission, all of San Francisco should be, how do we actually ensure that, you know, San Franciscans, you know, people from the near Bay Area can afford to live and enjoy this?
I didn't mean to put, I wasn't trying to blame the community around like not being involved sooner at all. I was just sort of, I wasn't trying to say that.
I think it's a good point though, because I think that some people feel that way. You know, we've heard those comments, you know, even from different meetings and, you know, commissioners from the Planning Commission, you know.
You always hear how long it takes for something to go through the city process. And then you're like, oh my God, you guys just signed it. We should have started like 3 years ago. You know, like there's like that whole panic around like timing.
Right.
So that's why I was just asking that element of it.
Yeah. And I think that it's that now we've heard it, and I've heard it many times, you know, and it's, you know, and I just think it's like, it's very, yeah. And, you know, it's not like it's anybody's job. This is people's livelihoods, right? And so, and their livelihood, their work life doesn't stop because of this,
totally.
You know? And so whenever that group can get together, I think it's a very powerful thing. And I think especially in the Filipino community, they've had to rally so many, like I think a lot of our communities have had to rally so many times just to, not to gain something, but not to lose something. And that's what this rallying is. And it's very tiring. And what was very good about this time is that, you know, especially at the Arts Commission, you know, and I think some of the members of the Planning Commission, they were very receptive to what was happening in front of them. They knew what was going on. And I thought that that was a positive thing that came out of here. And especially at the Arts Commission, I think that Director Tom DeCaney came up with a very good sort of balance in terms of suggested solution. Commissioner Collins actually, you know, spearheaded this too, is that, you know, the plan was, why doesn't the Art Commission keep that 40% completely and work with the community on figuring out how to disperse it? And I thought that was a really, really good idea. That would allow for community input to happen. It would, it shows that the efforts the community made were heard. And there's a process moving forward to hopefully have some of these benefits go and actually stabilize the community that's already living there.
One of the figures that came up in the last SFAC meeting, I think you brought this up during the public comment, was that there's been a 12% drop in the Filipino community. I was wondering if that was the whole Bay Area or just San Francisco.
No, that's just San Francisco. Actually, in the Bay Area, it's the community is rising, and the Filipino community is rising. And if you think about it, it's because we're displacing them more and more. They have to go out to the other counties that are surrounding San Francisco. And so there's also reports and articles that the Filipino community is the largest growing Asian community in California. But in San Francisco, they've dropped by 12% over the last 40 years. And that's coincided with four large developments that every time that development happened, they promised that Filipino community, we're going to do right by you. It's not going to affect you. It's not going to affect you. But every time, I mean, what bigger, I don't see a bigger outcome than a population drop. So I don't see a benefit in any of this. And so, you know, we can trace it back to the Yai Hotel. You can trace it to Yerba Buena Center for the Arts. When that development was built, they were displacing many Filipinos, and it was all like the Filipino community was promised access to the center. You know, I don't know how much actually, you know, happens around there for the Filipino community, but I don't know many groups that actually have access to that space. But then you have the Bloomingdales, and you have this and Metreon and all this stuff that's been constantly shifting the community. And I think the outcome is when you look at it, you look at the census numbers, and the census numbers tell us that there's been a 12% drop. And this is directly correlated to, you know, developments that are happening in these areas. And and that's why I think a lot of people this time around were not enchanted by community benefits, because you can say all you want, do all you want. We've already known what the outcome is out of these projects, and nobody's come up with any sort of radical or sort of futuristic or thought about how do you, you know, mitigate the negative effects development like this will have. And that's why it's like, yeah, you can say you'll do all this great stuff, but bottom line is people are going to get displaced. Mm-hmm. And I think the other thing that people are already hearing is already speculation by landlords, and so that are in the area. So, you know, there are already stories of landlords working with, you know, lawyers to get, you know, people evicted, you know, and things like that, knowing that this project's happening. And so those are real concerns. So, yeah. You know, I mean, that's one of the things, and I'm talking about the population drop, that was very alarming to me. I would not have thought, I thought the Filipino community in San Francisco was the fastest growing, but it's actually the, you know, one of the fastest decreasing communities, you know, in the city. And so I said that's my issue number one, is like, this is directly telling us that, you know, these major developments, you know, aren't helping.
We have an election coming up next week, and I just wanted to ask if there were any propositions or things that you were kind of like feeling really strongly about.
You want to make some endorsements?
The only one that is that's being thrown out. I mean,
the Mission moratorium. Is that the moratorium one?
Moratorium. Yeah. And so I live, you know, in the Mission, right? I grew up in the Mission, and I see what's going on, right? You know, and so, but it's just like I'm trying to figure out, is that the best way of doing it? Or does the city actually become more proactive when it's working with their developers? Because some of the things that bothered me was that some of these developments that go on are, they'll say, you know what, we just want to throw cash over at, you know, this development corporation, but we want to keep our luxury housing all in one place, but they won't mix affordable housing in some of these developments. And so I was like, well, that's just giving in to developers. Well, why can't the city step in and say, look, no, we really want you to do this. If you want to build here, you can build, but you have to do this. You have to, on your property that you're going to build, you've got to do these kinds of things. And so that's where I'm like, I don't believe in, you know, all or nothing thing. It's like, I think that gives the city, oh, you know, they can just throw their hands up and say, well, okay, that's that, you know, but I think that we should hold their feet to the fire a little bit and say, no, you know, if you're planning on the future of the city, then you really should be working with these developers and say, this is our vision. How are you going to actually contribute to it? Instead of, how much more money can you give me if we let you build 10 more floors, which is really what the conversation sound like.
Yeah. That goes back to your comment that San Francisco that never says no.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah. I don't know when they have said no. Like everything I said, I was like, yes, yes, yes. I was like, we ever say no?
You know? It's okay to say no.
And the one time they said no was like it was like opposite world, right? I'm like, oh, we should have let you build 10 floors higher. I'm like, really? Like, that's what you regret? Yeah. Nothing, none of the other stuff that's going on? Not the displacement?
Is there anything else that you would like listeners to know?
I think that, you know, civic participation, simple things like emails, phone call, even showing up unannounced, even to a supervisor's office, you know, or the mayor's office, they count it. And it does make a difference. So anything that you can do, if you're in City Hall, just step in, you know, and talk to an aide or somebody. They do count it, and it makes a world of difference. And so I encourage anybody to do it, you know, even the smallest thing. Don't think of it as small. It's very important. So
thank you so much for talking to us today.
Thank you for having me.
Congratulations! You listened to another episode of Congratulations Pine Tree.
Praise Jesus.
The most award-winningest Bay Area arts and culture podcast. Woo. We'll never get over it. Don't forget to vote. Let us know. And let us know if you disagree with all these appraisals, and we'll convince you otherwise.
And I just wanted to put one more thing out there for our listeners.
Oh, yeah.
Happy Halloween.
Oh, shit, yeah. Oh, P.S. Andrea Fraser is doing a performance on the 30th. Please go to that.
It's a Friday.
It's probably sold out, but you can sneak in. What is this, like, 59 episodes we've done and we still can't end the show?
How about something having to do with bridges? From the bridge to eternity.
From the bridge to beyond.
From the bridge to the other bridge to the island in the middle.
This has been Congratulations Pine Tree.